welcome to another episode of A Minute to Midnight. This is Tony bringing you part 3 of the interview series with Gil Brassard dealing with Planet X. I think if you haven't already heard parts 1 and 2, you may want to go back and hear them. They're fascinating. And part 3 will certainly not let you down in that aspect. It's a very fascinating interview. Gil and I don't necessarily agree on everything, but it certainly brings a lively debate at times and a lot of perspectives that many of you will have never heard before. So fasten your seatbelts, and here goes part 3.
Only in the last 15 years can we, in other words, if we were to try to calculate the biblical, create a biblical model for these events in the Bible 15 years ago, we'd have failed. We'd have used a gravity-ruled universe. But that means the planet cannot pass that close to Earth if it's a gravity-ruled universe. But the limit of gravity is proved out by what's called the Roche limit. The Roche limit for Earth is 1.5 times its radius. And that's where you get geosynchronous orbit. This is where a satellite won't lose its orbit and it's stationary because gravity can't pull it back. That's the limit of gravity. Anything beyond that is electromagnetic in nature.
So how close to Earth does this planet actually come?
Let me give you a reference for size. Between the moon and Earth, you have 30 Earth diameters. It's about 250,000 miles from between Earth and the moon.
Yeah.
And that is roughly 30 Earth diameters.
Yeah.
This object is only 6 to 7.5 times the diameter of Earth. Well, if it had a Roche limit similar to Earth, you'd go 1.5 times its radius also, and those two shouldn't cross. Otherwise, now you got gravity where you could drag an object further out of its orbit, like it happened during Hezekiah. So it could pass between the moon and Earth, and you'd have just like two magnets, two bar magnets being attracted to each other, they would tilt towards each other. And that's where you get the 26 to 28 degree tilt. That takes about 6 hours of its approach and 6 hours as it's leaving for Earth to readjust its tilt back again. And it will come close to its original position, anywhere from 4 to 7 degrees. It would be off its original position.
So just how big in the sky would this thing look?
Well, there's two data sources that kind of gives us, right? During Joshua's long day, there's outside text mentioned by Emmanuel Velikovsky and Chuck Missler, which I respect both of them as researchers. One states that the object was 50 times the diameter of the moon.
Wow.
Well, if you have an object roughly 7 times the diameter of Earth, that meant it passed approximately halfway. To give you a visual perspective of 50 times the diameter of Earth, moon. Okay? There's others says that it was 10 times that of the moon. Well, then that would make it quite a bit further out, but then it wouldn't. Either it's many times smaller than 7, or that it was outside the reach of the moon, even beyond 250,000 miles away. That meant we would not get close enough to the magnetic field for it to tilt 26 to 28 degrees. So I'm leaning more to the accounts of 50 to 1, that this object passed midway between the moon and the Earth. And that also in the model proves out that Earth would pass through the plasma tail, causing us to have a 12-hour delay in Earth's rotation. Earth would come to a complete stop without mile-high tidal waves. You would start to lose its spin rate of 4.5% to 5.5% compounded hourly for the next 24 to 28 hours, where Earth would come to a complete stop without mile high, you'd have coastal flooding but you wouldn't have mile-high tidal waves, which is what we used to assume in the past, that Earth just slammed on the brakes, stopped, and that meant all of the continents would be covered with water because the oceans would empty. But that's not the way it happened in the model.
Wow.
Earth enters, yeah. This is the only model that proves out all of these stories. Exactly. Remember, we have a white paper report, more than one. We have at least three white paper reports giving us the exact description of the Chinese, Korean, and Japanese astronomers. We have modern-day reports that says the orbits of comets in a certain region of space are warped, and that's in Sagittarius, which is considered south of the universe. Remember, south of the universe is not polar south. Anytime you hear internet people saying, oh, all the data points south of the universe, and they're looking in the wrong direction, that's not universal south in astronomy terms. That is called nadir, polar south. Polar north is called the zenith. South of the universe is, if you look at the midnight skies of July 4th, you'd be looking at Sagittarius on the ecliptic. That's south of the universe. North of the universe is December 29th at midnight, looking on the ecliptic. The ecliptic is the planetary plane of Earth. If you divide a line going straight through the center of the sun, straight through the center of Earth, that's the ecliptic. And because Earth is tilted, it comes across like an arc across the sky. But this is where, for us to have two meteor showers, this has to cross Earth path twice. Therefore, you have three fixed points. The sun is one of them, because it has to orbit the sun in the center of it. And you have two fixed points on its ecliptic plane. That's three fixed points. That means it cannot be off of the ecliptic. This object has to come from the ecliptic, from Sagittarius. This happens to be where NASA sent the Voyager and the Pioneer probes looking for this planet X.
Interesting stuff, huh? So now we're going to head back to looking at Jacob's trouble and the Great Tribulation that we began to look at in part two.
If we want to define what the length of time of Jacob's trouble, we go to the story of Jacob, his marriage. Remember how he worked for 7 years, then he received a bride that he was tricked to nothing about for that first marriage. Then he had to work another seven.
Yeah.
Well, if you take a close look at that as a time period, Jacob's trouble started in 2001. That's a Sabbath year. You don't count that. You count the next year starting account. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
That puts you 208 as being the Sabbath. Guess what? We received a world leader we knew nothing about, that he was a Muslim.
Yeah.
And guess what? If you go back in history, Nimrod was a descendant of Ham, which is the black race. Nimrod was the first man to call himself God on earth.
Yeah.
As it was in the beginning, shall she be the last. The last man to call himself God on earth would be a black man also.
I'm not sure I totally agree on that one, but anyway, because I don't think the Jews would ever accept a descendant of Ham. We've sort of dealt with that on this show. Well, I'm no expert on it, but anyway, yep, maybe.
Unless this black man's mother was Jewish, right?
We've debated this on here and kind of come to the conclusion that I'm not saying we're right, but we tend not to think that Obama is the Antichrist, that he's like pharaoh, a type of Antichrist, but not the final Antichrist.
What's interesting is Mr. Obama is going to force a peace agreement on Israel coming up, where they'll have to change their borders.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Bible says when Israel changes the borders, his hand of protection, God's hand of protection, is removed from him. I've forgotten which book of the Bible says that. But he says that. Now, that's Seal 5, which is the peace agreement. Now, okay, so if we had a world leader that we knew nothing about, we didn't know he was Esau, he's Muslim. He also states in the Bible, in the end days, I'll put your enemy ruling over you.
Yeah.
Well, Esau is now ruling over us.
Mm.
Now, if we go another seven, now we fall into Sabbath and followed by a Jubilee.
Yeah.
Well, if we can't work, we may not be able to be married in a Sabbath or a Jubilee. We'd have to wait to the Passover the following year, which would put it this next Passover, if we got it correct. It appears that we may have it correct because of what we're seeing on Jacob, the war against Jacob, cutting our heads off, declared by Islam, and then someone we knew nothing about elected as a world leader. Remember, he's the first president to accept the UN chair as the world leader. It goes against our constitution for him to sit in two chairs.
Yeah, yeah.
So he violates the law, as the scripture says. And remember how he's going to change times and laws.
Yeah.
Well, the first sign to the Mahdi in Islam is that he has to be a world leader first, which he is. He has to bring peace to the Middle East. And there's supposed to be a sign in the heaven, which is our planet. Then he's going to create a miracle that no other man can do. He's going to go in the Middle East because remember, the astronomers are going to say a meteor shower is going to hit that half of the earth, the Middle East, Europe, Africa, that side of the globe, and that North and South America is the safe side. But the only model that shows that Earth slows down by 12 hours is the biblical model in a plasma universe in Joshua's long day.
Mm.
It's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Now, the Muslims, because of the terrorist activity in Seal 4 of terrorism, it says a quarter of the world's population would be under the threat of death. That's global terrorism. 1.8 billion people, that's the Western nations, are going to be under the threat of terrorism started during a Middle East war here coming up. And this peace agreement is going to solve that, Seal 5. So now these Muslims are looking for a visa to leave the impact zone to go to a Western nation. Western nations are not accepting or not issuing them any visas because of their terrorist activities. They're trapped in their own country. Here comes this Mahdi that shows up, says, don't worry. I will change times and laws. I will change the rotation of the earth by 12 hours. And have fire fall on our enemies.
Yeah, I struggle to see that being Obama. I mean, to be honest, I can see that there will be someone that'll do that, but I tend to think it, you know, personally, that it won't. It's not Obama myself, but okay. But anyway, I could be wrong. You know, I certainly don't have hard and fast rules on it. But yeah, we've sort of,
well,
I suppose we've debated this a little bit on this show. So yeah.
So but. Okay, name one Muslim that's a world leader.
Well, but it maybe hasn't happened yet, and maybe I'm not even convinced it's going to be a Muslim myself, because I tend to think that it could be someone that's actually even of Jewish descent rather than Muslim. But I mean, I'm fascinated to hear your point of view, because I'm not saying that ours is right. So this is why it's great to kind of to have some healthy debate on it, because then we're less likely to be fooled if we know all the possibilities.
Keep in mind, the Bible does not say the second time Esau declares war on you. It doesn't say the second time that they decide to cut your heads off. All of these are singular.
Mm.
So we already see those in action. And I don't believe it's going to be the second time you see a Muslim as a world leader. It's singular again. I think we got too many singlers mentioned, and we're visually seeing too many singlers. You see, so we might be suffering, Mr. Denial.
See, I tend to think that we're going to see a world leader or someone arising that people will maybe think is the Antichrist, who is a warlike type of person, maybe a Muslim or whatever, but that will be followed by a false Messiah, like somebody that actually appears to be a Jesus-like person that everyone's going to accept. See, us Westerners are not going to accept an Islamic Messiah, so we'll have a false Messiah to follow. That's how I see it.
Now, let me point out the difference between Judaism, Muslim, and Christianity as far as the false Messiah. Or what they think the Messiah is going to be. The Jews and Muslims believe Yeshua was only a prophet. The Christians believe that he was the Messiah.
Yeah.
Well, remember where it says in our Bible, when they say, "I come out of the desert," don't believe them?
Yeah.
Well, in Islam, their Christ-like figure, not the Antichrist, their Christ, they call him by a different name, will walk out of the desert as a prophet.
Yeah.
And he'll point to this Mahdi saying, "He is your Messiah."
Yeah, but the Jews are not going to accept that. The Jews won't accept a Muslim Mahdi as their Messiah. And the Jews are also looking for a Messiah because they rejected Jesus.
Well, who said that he would be a Muslim walking out the desert?
Well, he won't be. That's fine. Yeah, okay.
So if someone walks out of the desert and you have and they're sold on that, at the same time, this guy performs a miracle, which the normal science community says is impossible for Earth to slow down on its rotation.
Yeah.
And okay. Then you got all the basic science community say it can't happen, but yet he did it. Which the Bible tells us ahead of time, it's a false miracle.
Yeah.
Because I'm already declaring it because the Bible already tells me so.
Yeah.
This is going to happen.
Yeah.
Then the majority of these people are going to jump on this bandwagon.
Yeah.
So remember, the Christians won't be fooled because they'll recognize them as being the Antichrist.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Jews and the Muslims will be fooled.
Okay. Yeah. And, yeah.
So. Yeah. We have, if you put all these stories together.
See, I think, a lot of Christians, well, not the true Christians, but a lot of supposed in-name Christians may be fooled by him because they will have already think we've already had the Antichrist, who would have been maybe some Muslim, Islamic slaughterer or something, or Obama or whatever. And so they'll think, oh, we've already had the Antichrist. So when this Messiah-like figure comes along, they accept him because they think they've already had the Antichrist.
Remember, the Pope kissed the Quran and said that they worship the same God.
Yeah. I'm watching. So when
the Pope decrees that this is also the Messiah, some of these Christians are going to go ahead and take the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
And they should.
Yeah.
They should.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a fascinating perspective on it.
You see, the data fills in the missing gaps. We had gaps in it.
Yeah.
We're force-fitting it.
Yeah.
But if you let the text speak clearly with the data, we have a matching model that is just as clear as the historical model.
Yeah.
It fits. We just have to wait for a sign.
Yeah.
And right now, remember when Ronald Reagan said if we had an outside threat, that the nations would put their differences aside and come together to address this outside. He was actually talking about an inbound planet. He knew about it. Mm. Remember how he came up with the Star Wars defense system, lasers?
Yeah.
Guess what? You need lasers in space to do a cloaking. I have a video that shows how they can cloak. You can put your hand in front of this device with lasers, and you can see right through your hand like a hole and see anything moving behind it. It bends light. Remember, light is matter in a different way, and you can bend it. And they would have bend it. Therefore, 16 years ago, we wouldn't see it. We still can't see it. Not until they take the cloaking mechanism down.
Yeah.
That's why we will have a late... That's why the Bible says He didn't say you'll see it first. He says you're going to see the effects of it first. Like a pain of a woman giving birth, earthquakes will increase.
Yeah.
And so we will get public notice from the government 40 days ahead. That's like the sign of Jonah. We're going to have 40-day warning from our global government that this is an actual threat.
Why do you think they'll leave it that late?
For control over the people. You will have, remember, they're going to take the internet down during the war in CO3. That stops 2 to 3 million amateur astronomers from showing the public pictures, and this thing starts to come into view.
Yeah.
So now you have a bail-in. You control money prior to that.
Yeah.
Now you're rationing food, and then you're going to ration fuel because of the Middle East war. Therefore, you got total control of the global population. And the internet is down, so they can't warn each other.
Yeah.
Until you see a peace agreement, the internet is up again. The whole world sees the glory of the Antichrist getting his peace agreement. And it has to be a sign in the sky when he's given it. That's what the Muslims are looking for.
Yeah.
20 days after that or so will be the announcement of a 40-day arrival of this planet. That's when it rounds the sun.
Yeah.
And you can clearly see it. And that will be the majority of the world population, that's when they're going to get their warning. So they're not attentive, they're not asleep.
Yeah. So at the moment, they're using satellite technology to hide it from being seen, or is the sun hiding it?
Lasers, yeah. If you look at my video, I think bonus 2 or bonus 3, whichever, it shows how the last few seconds of the video shows you how they can use laser to bend light.
Right.
And they've been remember, the government's 30 years ahead of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is being released right now.
So guys like Von Braun and people like that could have been working on that back in the 70s, even.
Possibly, but we do know it was implemented during Reagan.
Yeah.
They did have the technology, just had to get it up there. They just didn't want the countries, or like Russia and them, thinking that was something to defeat them. No, this is objects to help us keep the economy going.
Yeah.
Because if it would have got out, you'd have economic collapse globally.
Yeah.
You have to keep it quiet.
And so everyone's in on it, the Russians and all, every sort of thing.
All major economies. The smaller countries, no, but the major ones, yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You can see by the way they're acting. Okay? This is... remember, the Queen and the Pope said this was going to be the last Christmas that we're going to enjoy.
Yeah.
What do you think they meant by that?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
What do you think when you go back and visit the DVD of An Inconvenient Truth of Al Gore and relabeled this as climate effects from our planet?
Yeah.
And he says we will see the major effects on 2016.
Yeah.
Why did he pull that date out?
Hmm.
We will see the major on 2016.
And then they're using man-made climate change as an excuse to bring global government and more controls in place to have everyone more controlled when all this starts happening.
Let me tell you how the math does not work on that. Because I had a green energy project. I was planning to use the data to promote a green energy project. But when I did the math, it didn't calculate. For instance, Mount St. Helens produced more CO2 than all of what this industrial age did.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many volcanoes went off since Al Gore made his video?
I see another one this morning in Alaska or somewhere as well. So.
Yes, it's a joke.
Yeah.
Just the nature itself. Remember, the more CO2 you put in the sky, the more plants absorb it. They grow quicker. Your grass is going to grow quicker. It speeds up growth in plants because they will absorb it more. But the reason why our CO2 levels are actually going up and down and climbing is because the Earth is warming up. This planet is heating up our core slightly.
Yeah.
Okay. And that if it expands 1 degree, then you have earthquakes, methane, tremors, the whole nine. But that extra heat causes plant material to decay quicker.
Yeah.
Causing rises in CO2 steadily. And that's what we're seeing. It's the effects of planets warming up. All of our planets are warming up.
Yeah.
And there's no cores on Mars. So what is the answer to this? Look, our magnetic north of Earth is moving 12 times its normal speed northward, which happens to be in the, which if you look at the Earth, the way Earth is tilted, the way it's going, it's moving towards the south of the universe, where the magnetic fields are coming from. We're being pulled towards the magnetic field, Sagittarius. Now, the only way you can have a magnetic field effect, it's not from global warming.
No.
Magnetic fields are affected by other magnetic fields. So tell me, what is bigger than the Earth that has a stronger magnetic field to move Earth's magnetic field 12 times its usual rate? Only in one direction? South of the universe.
Yeah, okay, yep, yeah. So which actually brings me to just one more thing I was thinking. People, you know, you talk about it being a winged disk. People are saying it's, you know, got wings, and there was that supposed Google Sky image that they unblocked. It showed a winged planet. But you said earlier that the wings actually just represent the fact that it's moving. So do you think it actually has a winged kind of appearance or not?
It is possible because we've never visualized this in modern time, because a plasma tail will even flare. Remember Constantine when he saw an object rounding the sun, they said it looked like a cross, which I skipped in my records. That was between Yeshua and the Mayans. Constantine documented on a certain day that there was a cross in the sky. Well, this is when this object rounds the sun. The tail is looking, remember, points opposite of the sun. It's flaring, so it gives points like a sunburst.
Okay.
You look at the Catholic religion, you see a sunburst. This is this planet again. Throughout pagan history, they show a disc, like in the Egyptian, they show Horus.
Yeah.
With a disc on top of his head.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you go back in history and look at my Niebuhr disk, when I pull up the software, this disk passed through Taurus. That's why you see a disk between horns on his head.
Yeah.
The horns represented Taurus. The disk represented a planet. They were documented where it passed.
Right.
They gave a significant event for them.
Yeah.
Which was the tilting of the Earth.
Yeah.
Of 26 to 28 degrees.
Yeah.
Or a eclipse. It's documented throughout history. This is all about paganism. This is this planet. But the Almighty uses this either to bless you or to curse you, depending on how he sees your efforts, whether he needs to punish you or, and he's telling you, the ones who follow his instructions and call on his name on Mount Zion will be saved as he promised.
So what do you suggest that the average person does with this information now? How should we react? How should we prepare? What are your suggestions?
Pay attention to the order of events in Revelation. When we see economic collapse, war and famine, and your internet is going down, you can pack your bag. And when it comes back up, and they're announcing that a peace agreement will be signed in the next couple of weeks, catch your plane, be in Jerusalem, and witness that signing. From that point on, you'll be about 3 months before Passover, or 2.5 months, somewhere in there. Stay in Jerusalem until you get there for Passover. You'll see Elijah and Moses show up. They will announce the Messiah is coming. They're not going to be in Paris or New York. It says they will show up in Jerusalem announcing. And if you wait for them right then and wait for their announcement, there's no more travel. The planes are not traveling the last 3 days because this we're going into the tail of the plasma. That's like an EMP. Planes cannot fly.
Yeah.
So you have to have enough confidence in the data he's providing us to follow it as data. This is a real event that he's given us real information and follow through with it. But he says only a remnant will believe it to the point where they will actually follow it because they spiritualized the text to the point where they won't follow facts now.
Right.
And there's two. There is a spiritual side, but there's also a factual side. And he says, follow my instructions forever.
Mm.
And that's what he said. And we need to do that. These are not vain, repetitious religious acts, festivals. They are rehearsal pattern. The word in Hebrew is mekrah. It's a dry rehearsal. He's getting you prepared, practicing for a real event. And that's why we need to be in Israel. He gave us the routines to practice. And if you're practicing them, you know it. We are required to be in Jerusalem for Passover. He says that. That is one of the places you're supposed to be. So,
fascinating. Read the text carefully. Fascinating perspective on this. It really is. I've never heard, anyone spell it out in this way before. And I've heard a lot of different things, a lot of different interpretations and that, but this is quite different from anyone else's I've ever heard before.
Well, yep. I just can't express to the people that these stories are real. This event that's coming upon us is going to be real. And the return is going to be real.
Yeah.
And his instructions are real. Follow them. And you will be rewarded. Even if you haven't followed his instructions, remember the parable of the workers that were hired. One's hired in the morning, one at noon, one in the evening, one for just the last hour.
Yeah.
And he gave them what? The same reward.
Yeah.
If you follow his instructions of his rehearsal pattern, if you're there following in the last hour, you get the same reward as the ones that, remember, it's not just, they get to live in the New Jerusalem. The ones who are resurrected later are the guests to the wedding. They're not the bride and the bridesmaids. That's that remnant, let's say, 3.5 years later, the guests are resurrected and whoever's living is brought in. They're the guests to the wedding. Then after the marriage, after 1 year, the groom, a Hebrew groom, cannot go to war after 1 year of marriage. Then he comes back and then he defeats the Antichrist. Then he goes back and he tells the guests of the wedding, okay, the celebration is over. Time for you to go back to earth. It takes them 7 years to burn the implements of war.
Hmm.
The guests of the wedding make up the nations of the earth who are ruled by the bride and the bridemaid by instructions of Yeshua. Only the bride and bridemaid get to live in the new Jerusalem. Everyone else got to go back to earth and follow his instructions that they've forsaken. You're either going to do it for the next 1,000. Remember, in Revelation, it says if Egypt doesn't come to Jerusalem, basically to follow Passover, he will put a drought on them. Those festivals are still enacted during the 1,000-year reign. He says you will follow them. And we either follow them now with true heart and wanting to, otherwise, you're going to go through the Great Tribulation. If you make it, count yourself lucky if you make it to the end alive. And then you're going to go through a wedding and a feast. And after that 1 year, you got to come back to earth and follow his instructions on the ruling. He's going to rule the world with an iron rod. It's not, you will, if he hits you over the head with an iron rod, it's not going to be... you're going to know it. So
yep.
he's not going to accept people who are hard-headed.
Yeah. Well, this has been really fascinating, Gil. And can you just tell the listeners again where they can find your information? And then I guess we better wrap up.
Yep. planet7x.net. And that will be the site for a DVD. And at the bottom, there's links for free the free PDF book. Also, link for the YouTube channel, Planet 7X on the YouTube channel, where all of the I give videos describing many of these events, even the New Jerusalem fact or fiction. I show the engineering behind it, that there's no way that these ancient men could have guessed this that accurately. The New Jerusalem is a real object that you can calculate and put numbers to.
Fascinating. Yep, so I highly recommend that people go there and download that free ebook and the wall charts too.
Yep, and the wall charts charts are like, I think, 42 by almost 6 foot long. So anybody can have one. They just bring it to a printer, and they can print their own.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Gil, for being on A Minute to Midnight, and it's been really very, very interesting, and hopefully we'll have you back again sometime.
Thank you, my friend. I look forward to if there's any other interviews you want, that would be fine. Thank you.
So there you have it. That was part three of the interview series with Gil Brassard. Please remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel and also visit aminutetomidnight.com, where we post a lot of articles and all our interviews are there, both as YouTube videos and also just audio only downloads. We have a donate button on there which helps to keep this running, so any donations, even very small ones, are still greatly appreciated. And there's a link on there to rockshoresounds.com by downloading production music or sound effects from rockshoresounds.com. That also helps us at aminutetomidnight.com. I write and record all the music for our A Minute to Midnight shows, and so supporting rockshoresounds.com also helps support aminutetomidnight.com directly. Okay, so that's Tony signing off for A Minute to Midnight today. So we'll catch you hopefully in the next episode.